Blog Talk Radio.
Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. All right, let's get into it. Today's show topic is Lakers fall to Nuggets, Nets fall to Bucks, and Thursday night football action, Bucks versus the Ravens, NFL Week 8, NFL Week 8 preview. I'm assuming that this Thursday night game kicks Week 8 off. If not, I apologize, people, and we could still be on week 7, but I'm going to just say we're going into week 8, so we're going to be doing bold predictions on NFL week 8 action coming up for Sunday. But we're going to kick the week off with the Baltimore Ravens tonight at the Tampa Bay Bucks. So, and I want to apologize for a typo error in my description of the show today. I misspelled Bucks against the Ravens. I put like the NBA Bucks, but I meant to put Tampa Bay Bucks, meaning B-U-C-S. My apologies, people, but hey, that's why I need a staff. That's why I need a staff to kind of like double check me, but I apologize for that. And I apologize for the professional organizations in the topic today. So my apologies to the NFL, NBA, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I apologize. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a global listening audience. The hosts will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball. The number one sports contributor, DC, my number one sports contributor from Maryland, will make his bold predictions, his bold opinions and predictions on the Baltimore Ravens and New York Knicks. All right. So that's what our show is going to be covering today. Got a lot of stuff. Got a lot of stuff across the wire today. You know, let's get off into the Lakers falling to the Nuggets last night. One thing about today is that the Lakers can't blame Russell Westbrook because Russell Westbrook was not playing. Westbrook was not on the court last night, so that's one thing we can all get away from hearing this nonsense about Russ this, Russ that. We can get away from all of that type of nonsense, because Russell Westbrook was not playing in the game last night. But yet people, in my opinion, are still trying to figure out how to find a way to put the loss on him. So sad. Man was on the bench in street clothes. He had nothing to do with the game last night. So I don't know. I guess, you know, everybody want a scapegoat, as they say. Everybody like a scapegoat. But, you know, last night was not Russell Westbrook's fault because, again, he was in street clothes last night, just, you know, on the bench supporting the team like he's supposed to do when you're not playing. On the bench supporting the team like you're supposed to do when you're not playing in the game. So the Nuggets, they took the game. I forgot the exact amount of points. We'll start reading off some scores as they come across the wire today. And also, the Nets fell to the Bucks last night. Yeah, you know, of course, who they was talking about in that game, Ben Simmons. Somebody in the media recorded, you know, Kyrie Irving shouting at Ben Simmons, saying, shoot the ball. Ben, shoot it, you know. I said it the other day, Ben Simmons is not a shooter. He's a facilitator, and he can take the ball to the hole. Leave him alone. He had a pretty good first half defensively. I think he had 12 assists, 9 assists, 12 to the shooters. Kicked the ball to Seth Curry. Kicked the ball to Patty Mills. Kicked the ball to Durant. Kicked the ball to Kyrie. Let him just kick the ball out. Quit sweating him. Then they're saying that Ben Simmons, you know, he didn't want to shoot the ball, and Kyrie was encouraging him to shoot the ball. Or hey, I don't know if you want to look at it as encouraging him, or whether you want to look at it as getting on his case. I don't know. I wasn't there. I ain't in Kyrie's head, so I don't know his intent. I don't know if he was trying to discipline Ben Simmons. I don't know if he was trying to encourage Ben Simmons. I don't know if he was trying to call him out. I don't know. I don't know if he was just saying that he got an open shot, go ahead, take it. I don't know. I don't know what his intentions were. I don't know. All I know is the media called Kyrie Irving saying, shoot the ball, Ben. And so he didn't shoot it. He passed it off to KD. KD scored. There was another assist for Ben Simmons, however you look at it. But, you know, they're saying that he don't want to get fouled. He don't want to go to the line. That's why he didn't shoot the ball. Ben Simmons didn't shoot the ball. He passed it off to somebody else because he knew if he tried to shoot it, they was going to foul him and put him on the line, and that's what he don't want to be. They're saying he got some kind of psychological demon. He hasn't exercised the demons of being out there 15 feet away from the basket on that line all by itself when he's so silent, so lonely out there on that line. They're saying he don't want to be out there on that free throw line. I mean, I understand because, you know, I was in a playoff game before. I have been in a position where I had to, you know, win a game to go to the playoffs. I've been there. I can't remember if we needed to win a game or if I was already in the playoffs and we just wanted to advance. But I've been on that line. You know, I used to be a pro rec league basketball player myself. Pro rec league. Non-paid for my performances. But I was on the line, and I stunk one shot, and all I had to do was sink one more shot. I had to sink one more shot, and I stunk the shot to win the game. But the referee was, like, waving it off, and I'm looking at the referee, and I say, man, why are you waving the shot off, man? Why are you waving the shot? Now, remember, this is when I was playing professional rec league basketball. You know, I played pro ball, too, in the rec league arena. But I had my foot on the line. I had one of my foot on the free throw line. I wasn't totally behind the line. I had my foot was on the free throw line when I made the shot, and he waved it off, and it cost us the game. So I understand Ben Simmons struggles being out there on that free throw line. I understand it. I got my man DC from Maryland. He's going to be giving us some bold opinions right now about what I'm talking about, Ben Simmons being, you know, not wanting to be out there alone. We're also going to talk about some Lakers news, some Bucks versus Ravens news tonight. And let me get him on the line here, because before I come to you, DC, last time we was talking, you were saying you wanted to get Julius Randle off the Knicks. You wanted to get him out of there. We're going to talk about the Knicks first before we go into the Lakers and the Nuggets, Lakers and all that stuff. But you said last time, before I bring you on, that you wanted to get rid of Julius Randle. You wanted to trade Julius Randle, yet Julius Randle is the best player right now in the last four games on y'all team. I'm coming to you now, DeVille, DC. I'm coming to you now, 5-4-3-2-1. Coming to you now. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, my brother? How you doing?
Good morning. Last time we talked, like I was just saying, you was, you know, ready to sell, your exact words is, I want to sell Julius Randle off my team for a bag of chips. And I said, I don't know, man, Julius Randle, the last couple of years, he didn't kind of like came in, you know, since the Lakers got rid of him, he kind of, you know, went to the Pelicans, became a leader, then he went on to the, you know, the Knicks picked him up, and I thought he was doing pretty good. You like, you want him out of there. So talk to me about it. What's his resurgence? I mean, the Knicks, I think, are what, 4-1? I think they only lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, which, you know, who don't lose to them? Go ahead, talk to me.
All right, so you are 100% correct. I did say that. In fact, I want to trade him for a bag of Utz potato chips, not Lay's, because Lay's get stale if you leave them open for more than 15 minutes. And I still want to trade him for a bag of potato chips, not because of his talent, because of his attitude. In that same game last night, the Knicks won last night. They played the Hornets, and I watched the game. Julius Randle had a turnover that pushed the game into overtime. The ball was going out of bounds, and it was one of the Hornets players shot a three-point shot. It was an air ball. Julius Randle ran and touched the ball before it went out of bounds. It was clearly out of bounds, and he dived for it to try to push it in bounds under the other team's basket. Like, all of that's basketball no-no. Walt Frazier last night was like, what a bonehead play, right? He's playing hard, but he's not playing smart. And that's the problem. So he has an attitude. He's not playing smart. He's got talent. I mean, come on, let's be honest. This kid, Kentucky, draft pick, you know, played with Kobe, right? Like, I mean, this kid, you're not going to get in the NBA if you're not talented, right? All those guys are talented, right? So talent isn't enough. Right? It's attitude. It's the mindset. Do you have the mindset to be the leader of the team? And here's the perspective. Obi Toppin is his backup. Now, Julius is averaging about 30 minutes a game. Obi Toppin's averaging about 15 minutes a game. Obi Toppin is actually rated statistically as a better player than Julius Randle. So, but what they use, you know, everybody's doing analytics now. So now they have what's called a player efficiency rating, PER. Julius Randle's PER is 18, right? Obi Toppin's PER is 23. So you're talking about a younger guy who costs less. He's cheaper. He's cheaper than Julius Randle. They play the same position. He's more athletic than Julius Randle. Like, no one can argue that Obi Toppin is not athletic, right? This kid jumps out of the gym, right? He was the college player of the year. He was the Naismith player of the year in college. Remember, nobody got a chance to see him in the tournament because that was COVID, right? COVID shut down because Obi went to Dayton, right, University of Dayton. So he never got a chance to play in the tournament, because COVID shut down the tournament that year. So the country never got a chance to see the best college player, the Naismith College Player, the award winner, play in college. Now, Obi Toppin shoots threes. He dunks. He rebounds. You know, he's a better defender. And so you got a $20 million a year player who is not a better efficient player, ahead of this young boy. I mean, I'm not trying to assault Obi by calling him a boy. I'm just saying about in front of this young player.
This young kid, young man.
Right. Who is cheaper, better athletic, does just what Randall does, right? And, you know, I look at Obi Toppin as Amari Stoudemire. So what we're saying is you got Amari Stoudemire as somebody's backup. You know, that's like saying Amari Stoudemire is the backup to Draymond Green, right? Like what? You playing Draymond over Amari? That's the kind of comparison I'm making here, right?
Okay.
So yeah, I want Julius Randle gone. I trade him for a bag of potato chips. All right, so you're
well,
right.
Knicks defeated the Hornets 134.
He's leading the team in scoring. He's leading the team in rebounds. You're right. But he's only leading because he's getting more minutes than Obi Toppin, right? He's you know, Julius Randle's getting over 30 minutes a game, and Obi Toppin's getting 15 minutes. So he's doubling Obi Toppin in minutes. But Obi Toppin's way more effective.
Well, let me say this. On the wire, they're saying, on my monitor, they're saying that the Knicks defeat the Hornets 134-131 in overtime. Knicks are 3-0 at home this season, won first three home games for the first time since 2012-2013. Why are the Knicks with a record like that right now playing the way they're playing? I mean, they're probably looking at like a, what, 6th seed, you know, of 8th seed, or at least a play-in tournament. What was the turnaround? Why are they playing so well?
Point guard. Having a legitimate point guard is making the difference.
That's the kid Baines that y'all was tampering with got caught with your hand in the cookie jar.
Jalen Brunson, yep, who was Rick Brunson.
Yeah, Brunson.
Rick Brunson's son.
Jalen
Brunson.
Coach.
Yep. That is the difference. That is the difference.
I mean, I guess sometimes when you do something wrong, I guess it pays off. I guess crime pays off sometimes. You know,
That's right.
You know, crime paid off in this case. But I guess y'all paid y'all tampering fine. But anyway, it paid also. What are we looking at? What's the prediction? Is this a playoff team, or are they going to do like they normally do, fade down the stretch after the All-Star break?
It is a playoff team. They are a playoff team. If the playoffs started today, the Knicks would be the 3rd seed. And I know you're saying, man, we're only in the first week of the NBA season. It's way too early to talk about that.
No, but that makes sense.
If the playoffs started today, they'd be the 3rd seed. You know, what you're seeing is teams like Brooklyn and everybody thought the Nets and teams like the 76ers, they're struggling. And they're struggling because they have holes in their team. The Knicks, you know, backup point guard is Derrick Rose. But he's actually been shipped into the 3rd string point guard. They've been giving Emmanuel Quickly, the first point guard off the bench role. So you got Derrick Rose, who's barely playing. And what I see is Derrick Rose is going to be a midseason trade for the Knicks. And whatever holes that they discover they have in their lineup, they're gonna trade Derrick Rose to cover that hole. Right.
Well, let me give you a scenario. I'm going to give you a scenario. You know, right now, the Lakers, which we'll be talking about in a little bit, but the Lakers, they're trying to get rid of Russell Westbrook. They need somebody to take on that amount of money that they owe him. Is it a possibility that you guys could send Derrick Rose to the Lakers and then shoot Russell Westbrook over to the Knicks with Russell Westbrook, you know, being a spark on the floor with Brunson, you know, that could be a powerful move. Is that something that they're talking about in the front office?
So I could see the Knicks making the trade to send Derrick Rose to the Lakers. But if you're the Knicks, even if you accept Russell Westbrook, you're going to cut him you're going to waive him as soon as you make the trade. Why? Because you've got Brunson, who you just paid $100 million to come there. You've got Quickly, who's a backup that's pretty solid. And, you know, you've got that kid Grimes that they're really high on at 6'5", came out of Houston and plays defense really well. So, and clearly Russell Westbrook's a chemistry issue. I could see the Knicks trading Derrick Rose and Julius Randle because, you know, one of the things about the NBA is the salary caps. The salary's got to match up, right? So I could see the Knicks trading Randle and Derrick Rose to the Lakers in exchange for Westbrook, but then cutting Westbrook. Well, you say, well, why would the Knicks do that? They would have to get a draft pick out of the equation. The problem that the Lakers have is they don't have very many draft picks, and then they don't want to give up any because they don't have any. So I could see that being a trade, but I don't see Russell Westbrook playing. I see him getting cut.
Across my monitor, they're saying that the Lakers are on for a bottom five team in the NBA. What's your opinion on that? Going to the Lakers, some Lakers, they fell to the Nuggets last night. Are they a 0-4 bottom five team in the NBA, or are they a play-in team? What do you think today?
No, they are a bottom. They are not going to make the playoffs. I predicted that on your show. They're not going to make the playoffs. And the reason why is because, remember, look at who's in the West. Portland, Utah, Phoenix, the Pelicans. The Grizzlies, who you just said, hey, the Knicks lost the Grizzlies, but don't nobody lose to Memphis. Memphis, right? Memphis right now is the fifth seed. If the playoffs start today, Memphis be the fifth seed. The Timberwolves, the Spurs, the Nuggets. Golden State, if the playoffs started today, Golden State would be the number 9 seed and would be a play-in team, the Warriors. And then number 10 is the Clippers. So you're saying so none of those 10 teams are better than the Lakers. None. Portland, Utah, Phoenix, the Pelicans with Zion Williamson, the Grizzlies, Memphis, the Timberwolves, the Spurs, the Nuggets, the Warriors, and the Clippers. None of those 10 teams, the Lakers are not better than any of those teams.
Okay. I mean that makes sense. But now Russell Westbrook was on the bench last night in street clothes, wouldn't bother nobody, being a team player in street clothes on the bench. They still went, the media this morning still tried to find a reason to say that Westbrook's the problem. Why? The man's on the bench.
He is the problem. The problem is because the season just started and he's already divided the locker room. Already. Darwin Ham is his first year as the coach of the Lakers. And Russell Westbrook's already trying to be a power struggle against Darwin Ham. Like, you cannot I understand as an organization, if I hire you as the coach, you are the leader. I can't have a player be the leader over you, right? I hired you as the coach. I'm paying you all these millions, right? I can't have a player that's clearly past his prime. Russell Westbrook has no championship rings, none, not a single one. This isn't Darwin Ham against LeBron. This is Darwin Ham against Russell Westbrook, right? Like, you know, he was in Oklahoma, and remember, he was arguably the reason that Harden left, right? Then it was him and KD, and then he was arguably the reason why KD left, right? Remember, because they were supposed to be brothers,
but
and they were supposed to.
Let me interject. What I'm confused about, though, is, okay, you say he divided the locker room. I heard a rumor yesterday, something about he told the coach something about I can't sit on the bench. It's affecting my hamstring. I don't know how true that is. I don't even know if that's a real type of injury. You cut your hamstring hurting because you're sitting on the bench. Okay. Then I heard something about he kind of like told the coach behind the scenes that basically in so many words, like, I ain't coming off the doggone bench. I'm going to be on the floor with the ones. So is any of this true? Or is that the scenario you're talking about dividing the locker room?
It is definitely the scenario. It is part of dividing the locker room, and here's the reason why. At some point, as a player, you've got to recognize that your skill set ain't the same. I'm gonna give you an example. Derrick Rose shoots way better jump shots now than he did when he was MVP. Why? Because when he was MVP, he relied on his athleticism to go to the basket, and if he got fouled, right, he could shoot free throws and he make his points.
Yeah, he was Russell Westbrook before Russell Westbrook.
That's right. And he don't have the explosiveness he has anymore, so now he's shooting jump shots, right? And people leave him wide open. Derrick Rose hits a lot of wide open shots. The reason why is because everybody's like, oh, that's Derrick Rose. He can't shoot from the outside. And then he buries a three, right? And the reason why, he became a better jump shooter because of his bad knees, right? He didn't have the explosive no more. So what do you practice on the court? You practice your jump shot. So while he was rehabbing all those years, he worked on his jumper. So now he's got a better jumper. Russell Westbrook doesn't want to modify his game based on his age. At one point, Carmelo Anthony didn't want to come off the bench. And then he realized, I need to come off the bench because I can't do it no more like these young boys can. And that's it, right? It happens to all the older players. And back when we were younger, a lot of the older players just retired. Right, when they knew they couldn't be in the starting lineup anymore, they walked away. Remember when Jerry Rice was signed with the Denver Broncos? They realized that Jerry Rice was the number four wide receiver. They were like, Jerry, these young boys is just faster than you. You got hands, because he never loses hands. But these young boys is just as big as you, and they're faster, right?
No, he was the
Broncos,
with the
they had Demaryius Thomas, they had all them boys. And Jerry Rice was only good enough to be the number four wide receiver. And so he retired.
I thought he was with the Seahawks. I didn't think – he didn't go to the Broncos, did he?
Yeah,
I know
he did.
The Raiders and the Seahawks.
Yeah, I believe he did. Right, and he retired.
It must have been
that last
deal. Might have been that last deal. And he just signed it then quit. But, okay, let me ask you this here. So what you're saying about injuries. The Klay Thompson the other night, he's coming back off them two knee surgeries for over 2 years of not playing basketball. They're not trying to ask him to come off the bench like they're asking Westbrook or nothing like that. They're not asking him to come off the bench. He's in his starting role. And then the other night, you know, they're saying that he got upset with Devin Booker because they said Devin Booker was giving him the business all night, and he just couldn't keep up with him. You know, well, what do you say about that?
Babyface Booker is an assassin. That's what I call him because he looked like a kid. He looked like he's 10 years old. Babyface Booker
was giving
it to
him all night.
That's right. Babyface Booker is arguably the best player in the league. He doesn't get the props. Remember, he plays on the West Coast. So most of the media is asleep when he's playing, right? When Phoenix is playing, most people are asleep because they don't play till 10:30 on the West Coast, right? 7:30 on the West Coast, but it's 10:30 on the East Coast. And so when he's hitting three-pointers at 1 in the morning, most people are asleep, right? So the box scores and stuff, they don't get published till the day after, that kind of.
Right, right.
Babyface Booker is an assassin, and you can argue he's one of the best players in the league. Right, because he can play the point, he can play the two, right? Well, that's why having Chris Paul there is great for him because they don't have to handle the ball, and he can just get wide open and hit a shot, right? And that's what I'm telling you, that's what I'm talking about, skill set, you know. And remember, Russell Westbrook relies on his athleticism. That's what got him in the league. His athleticism is off the charts. That dude was a crazy athlete. You know, like James Harden. James Harden is not the same athlete as Westbrook, but James Harden got a better jump shot, right? You know,
I said yesterday on the show. Yesterday, if everybody that was just listening globally, I said on the show yesterday that I don't understand why Darvin Ham, Jeannie Buss, and Rob Pelinka, the GM, if I'm correct, why don't they just sit down and say, "Look, this is what we're gonna do." You know, I gave a scenario. Steve McNabb back in the day came to work one day. Rest in peace, Steve McNabb, for the Tennessee Titans. He came to work one day, and him and Jeff Fisher obviously wasn't getting along from what I hear. There was a rumor, but because Fisher never wanted him. And so so Steve McNabb tries to use his key card to get into the facility, and somebody comes out with his personal items, you know, in a box. Like, you get walked off the job, and they're like, you're no longer allowed in the facility. Segueing over to today. Jimmy Garofalo, although they weren't that dirty, to him, the 49ers basically told him, you know, check this out. We're going to let you play on our alternate field with one of our trainers. Practice over there. We don't want you around the team. But just stay over there if we're trying to work out a trade. But until we trade you, you still need to be coached up on the plays and the scheme. But you're going to be by yourself. Yeah, we know how that worked out. He wound up coming back. Why don't they just tell Russell Westbrook the same thing? Hey, Russ, check it out. Check this out. Go, you are, the money is guaranteed in the NBA. We got to pay you. But just go ahead and go home. Just go ahead and go home. Why are they not just doing that? Why are they keeping them there? I don't get it.
Well, one of the reasons why, because that lowers your trade value. And so they want to do that, but they don't want to lower his trade value. So they're trying to keep him under wraps so they could still use him. They want to get him out on the court and let him do a few things, right? Even if he only plays 10 minutes, they want to get him out on the court and have him still be effective in some kind of way so that you could trade him. But Russell Westbrook's not helping because he's not shutting up, right? So he's going to put them in a position where they're going to be forced to do that. They did it with Stephon Marbury. The New York Knicks, at one point, they were paying Stephon Marbury $20 million a year. He was the leading.
Sit at home.
Right. And then at first they benched him, and they was paying him $20 million to sit on the bench. Then he wasn't coming to the game, right? Like, so they were like, yo, Marbury's supposed to be here, but he's not here. He's not even here in street clothes. So then they just said, screw it. Since you're not going to travel with the team, go home. So then he went home. Then they released him, right? And then he signed with the Celtics that year for the league minimum, $1 million, right? And so this guy's making $21 million a year, 20 by the Knicks, $1 million by Boston, but they didn't keep him on the court that long. He played a couple of games for them. Attitude, not want to be a team player, this, that, and the third, and then the Celtics let him go. And then next thing you know, Stephon Marbury is in China, right? And he went to China, and he was the Michael Jordan of China. But that ain't hard, right, when you're 6'3", and everybody out there is 5'7", right? So he went out there and balled.
Yeah,
we all could play out there. Right? And that's what happened.
Who made this bad deal, man, in the front office for the Lakers for Westbrook anyway? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, why would you – I mean, it's stupid. Somebody was stupid in the front office, right? Was it Pelinka? Was it Jenny Buck? Who gave him all this freaking money, or did they pick up the tab from Washington, from the Wizards?
It was a little bit of both. And here's the thing. You want to – placate to the players a little bit because you want veterans to want to come there, right? Because NBA players are veterans, they're friends, they talk, they hang out, right? You don't want any, you want people to say, yeah, I'm going to come over there and play with you, right? You don't want to be known as the franchise that don't pay nobody or the franchise that don't, help people out, because then nobody's going to want to ride with you, and you're going to have problems, right?
Yeah, the only reason why I'm asking that question is because, like, okay, you already know that that LeBron James got to have the ball in his hand. He's like a point forward, if I'm correct, or a point power forward, you know, and it's like that's the way he plays. So it's like you can't have two of him on the court. AD is just the guy you kick the ball to. He's going to shoot from the outside as a big man. He got a good outside shot, and he can play down low too. So you bring Russell Westbrook into the mix. Why didn't they just say from the get-go, Russ, we want you here, but we're going to basically don't look at it like you are a bench player. You're going to be the captain of the second squad. everybody pro would say, you're going to be the captain. That's going to be your squad. You are the captain of that squad. And so it's like that should have been told to him in the first place. But I'm thinking that they're trying to tell him that now, but the way they're coming at him with it now is like, you're doing that is making it seem like, okay, you can't play no more. We're just bringing you off the bench. But they could make him feel better by telling him, hey, man, you are the captain of that unit. All those other, I mean, you're the captain of that unit. Like, remember when Portland Trail Blazers, when Scottie Pippen was there, Bonzi Wells, Greg Anthony, they had two starting teams for somebody else. Remember that?
I do.
So my thing is, why can't Russell embrace that role of, man, you are the captain of your squad?
Because he don't want to be on the bench. In his mind, if I'm not starting, there's a problem because I'm a starter. Right.
That's ludicrous to me. Moving on to some Thursday night football action. Bucks and the Ravens, they got, you know, the over-under -1.5. Bucks, Ravens, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baltimore Ravens. Give me your bold prediction on what's going to happen tonight, but I'm going to give you mine first. I think that I'm going to have to go with the Ravens. And I'm going with the Ravens because I think that Tom Brady has got too many off-the-field issues to where he can be effective this season. I just think that, you know, he's snapping on people. He's a grouchy old man now. And people kind of – somebody going to get to the point where they're like, hey, man, get the hell out of my face. You know, somebody going to snap. So I think that his personal problems are going to have him all confused tonight. They saying that he's ready to go, this, that, and the other tonight. But I think that Lamar Jackson them needing to get their fourth win. I'm sorry, their fifth win. They'll get their fifth win tonight if they win. I think Lamar's going to come out hungry. He's going to come out running that ball. I don't think it's going to be a big pass tonight. I think he'll be running that ball because he's going to make sure y'all score. So what's your prediction?
I agree. I do think the Ravens are going to pull it out. I do think it's going to be close, though. I don't think it's going to be a blowout game. I think Tom Brady's going to be in the position to win, but he's not going to. So I think the game is going to – the Ravens are going to leave the door open for the Bucks to get in the game and maybe make it close. I just don't think it will be. I do think the Ravens will win it. It would not shock me if it's a Justin Tucker last second field goal that wins it. That would not shock me. But I do think that the Ravens will prevail.
The what is that going to put y'all in as far as y'all division? Is that going to tie y'all up with Cleveland, or will y'all be one over Cleveland? Y'all be in the top of the division, right, with five wins, right?
Well, I, right now we're the division winner. If the playoffs ended today, we would win the division because we have the tiebreaker over Cincinnati because we beat them head-to-head. But, yeah, it would put us at five wins, and it would put us behind – Buffalo and the Jets all have five wins in Kansas City. So we would be moving back in the top four and wins in the conference, right? Because Buffalo, the Jets, and Kansas City all have five wins so far. So it would be a huge deal. The Ravens got some issues to resolve, but it would be a big win for them. And I do think it's doable.
Yeah, because and that's why I was saying to everybody yesterday, I said, if you got right now, of course, the standard is the Eagles 6-0, but then you drop down to everybody else. If you got five wins right now, 4 to 5 wins, you can kind of like navigate your way through to postseason. But if you like 2 wins, 3 wins, I think it's going to – I think like tonight, like my Saints, you know, 2 wins, you know, we're done. I think we're toast. I think we're toast, to be honest. But, I wanted to talk about going back to some NBA. The Nets fell last night to the Bucks. What was the reason why that the Nets couldn't defeat Giannis? Why they couldn't shut Giannis down? And then, again, why is Ben Simmons still being employed to shoot when He's just good. He's good as a point forward, dishing the ball. He had 12 assists, if I'm correct, either 9 or 12 assists. I mean, why is that just not good enough? And then speaking of, they're saying that he doesn't want to get fouled and be out there on that free throw line. And I was giving you the analogy, everybody, the analogy of when I was playing pro ball, when I was in
I seen you back then clank some free throws. So, I understand you trying to, you know, relive for, you know, some memories, you know, of you out there clanking the ball. So I understand. Ben Simmons is done. You know, he's damaged goods. And he got drafted on potential. He came out of LSU. And he was outstanding in college, but he's done because, again, the number one thing that you got to remember is all of these guys are talented. All of these guys are talented, and when they start watching film, and they start seeing your weakness, it's easy to solve the problem. It's easy. It's easy to be the guy that only goes left. Right, it's easy to be the guy that you can leave alone and let him hit them jump it's easy, right? It's easy to play against these guys if they don't upgrade their game. Right, you've got to evolve. If you don't evolve, you will get exposed, and you will limit yourself.
Didn't Giannis have that same problem a couple years ago?
Yep, and look at the changes he made. He started being able to hit the jump shot. Remember, people were daring him to hit the jump shot. And he started hitting the jump shot. And guess what? It made a huge difference. They won a title. Right? They won a title.
Yeah, because he was another one that didn't want to get on that line. He was the same way. They, you know, dribbling 50,000 times, and they was like counting, like, he's taking too long at the line because he didn't want to be there in the first place. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. That's what they're saying with Ben Simmons. They're saying that when he gets on that line, it's like it's so lonely out there for him, so much silence. It's just almost like everybody's just looking and waiting on him to miss, and it's just too much mentally. But this is coming from a kid that played professionally at 16 in Australia. That's what I can't understand, is like, why is he under so much stress? At 16 years old, he's playing professional ball in Australia. I mean, am I correct about that? You know, correct.
You are 100% correct. The problem is the talent level. You know, being a pro athlete means you get paid to play. I mean, if you break it down to its basics, the difference between a professional and an amateur is the professional gets a check to be out there, right? An amateur does not get a check. But it doesn't mean that just because you get a check that you're somehow better.
Man, you know, it's just crazy to me, you know, that, you know, these guys, you know, they come to the NBA after playing in these pro leagues and they mentally break down. I mean, but Tony Parker, you know, who's saying France, 16-year-old pro player in France, he's solid. Let's go to an example today. Who was that? LaMelo Ball, the younger one. He's he played overseas at you know, in that league that his father created, and he's solid. He don't run from the big moments. So I guess it's just based on the person's mentality. I you know, pressure hit everybody in a different way.
Yep. But a lot of these guys, and remember, you know, you got players that can, like, I remember a guy, he played for Syracuse in, let's say, 2004 or whatever. His name was Preston Shumpert. He was 6'8". He could shoot anywhere. He was like Carmelo. Preston Shumpert never got drafted and never made it to the NBA. He could not get his shot off, right? He could play. He could score. He just couldn't meet that level of talent. There's so many people out here that are so talented that when they get in that league, they're going to do some things. So you've got to work on your game to stay in charge, to stay going, right? You've got to. A lot of these players don't do that, right? They think, nope, I'm untouchable, and you're not. Unfortunately, you're not.
What do you say about in NFL news? Who is that? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got out there yesterday. What do you think about this? He got out there yesterday saying that if my starters don't know what they're doing, bring me the guys that's on the bench, the backups. If they may not be as talented, but bring me those guys that know the play. I'll work with them basically before I work with these guys. These guys, they need to know where they need to be in each play. If they don't know it, sit them down. Give me the tools. I'll work with the tools. We'll roll with those. So, first of all, is that a fair thing for Aaron Rodgers to say? And second of all, is that realistic based on salaries? Because if you're paying a guy, you got a deal, you're paying them to start. I know that some of these guys are probably on their first-year rookie deal, which ain't a whole lot of money, but they're going to be getting some money, you know, as time move on their next deal. But is this financially realistic, and is it fair, what he's saying?
Yes, it is. Because
why?
Because, number one, what you realize is what he's saying is I want to win. I just don't have people helping me win. And so I want people out here who want to win. And he's also saying, you know, a guy could be wide open, but if he's not running the right route, then essentially he's useless. If I throw it to him, I'm going to throw an interception, right? He's useless. So I totally agree with Aaron's argument. Now, here's the thing. If Aaron Rodgers is calling these folks out, here's what happens. You got to perform, right? If you call these people out and you don't perform, right, then you're going to look bad. So Aaron Rodgers is gambling on him. He's saying, yo, I still got the skills. I still can do this. Give me the right people around me and watch and sit back and watch.
But you know what I don't understand, though, based on what you're saying and what you were saying earlier about somebody like a Russell Westbrook. I'm gonna use him as an example. How is Westbrook a locker room distraction for saying the same thing? Top 75 player in the NBA. He's saying the same thing. He's a locker room distraction. Aaron Rodgers. Definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's saying the same stuff. Why is he not a locker room distraction? Because he's clearly going to lose his locker room if he keeps calling these guys out. Am I correct?
Yeah, but the problem is if they're not producing, then you got to keep giving the nod to Aaron Rodgers, right? Because you using this analogy. You know, people will put up with you if you got talent. Once your attitude exceeds your talent, then no one puts up with you anymore, right?
Okay.
So if your talent exceeds your attitude, then we'll put up with it. But once your attitude exceeds your talent, regardless of the sport. Right, if Russell Westbrook was the best point guard in the league and killing it, then people would listen to him because he's the best point guard in the league. But he's not. He's not that player anymore.
Well, some can argue and say that Aaron Rodgers ain't that player no more. He's sipping on his whole ayahuasca tea and telling everybody to relax, you know, and all this stuff. But yet and still, you know, They're saying he's lost a step. They're saying him and Brady are now becoming the grouchy old men on the sideline or in the press.
When's the last time that Aaron Rodgers won MVP? And when's the last time that Russell Westbrook won MVP?
I think Aaron Rodgers won a year before last. I think the bubble year when they was in the playoffs and lost to the Patriots, I think he won the MVP that year. Am I correct?
Yeah.
2020?
Yeah. See, you talking about 2 years ago. Now, when's the last time Russell Westbrook won anything?
Probably about 8 years ago. I think about 8 years ago.
See?
I think when he was still with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
See, and that's my point.
That's a hell of a way to break. That's a hell of a way to break that down. When you across the wire, they were saying, "What's the biggest surprise? The Seattle Seahawks or the New York Giants?" Are you surprised how well Geno Smith is playing? And I'll comment on that real quick before you make your statement. People don't realize, man, that Geno Smith, and this is gonna be deep right here. Geno Smith was, I think, coached by Dana Holgerson at West Virginia Mountaineers, and he was a beast. This was probably back easily 2010, 2011, somewhere back up in there, 2012, I think, somewhere in there. It was definitely before 2015. He was with the West Virginia Mountaineers. I think he got drafted in the first round. Geno Smith, drafted in the first round. He had a big arm, and he could actually move, you know, run the ball too. So my thing is this. He went to the Jets. That didn't work out because he was on a bad team. Bad team, and that's after they let Rex Ryan go. And then, you know, he had the defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, who's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's losing now. So Geno Smith, I think, had the wrong coach. Then he got into a fight, got his jaw broke, and, of course, you can't play hurt. So then they traded him off. He went to the Chargers, stayed the Chargers for a while, ended up with the Seahawks. Russell Wilson is gone. Now he's playing great. I think with Geno Smith, the problem was Todd Bowles. And I'm going to tell you why. Todd Bowles has a championship quarterback right now, Super Bowl winning quarterback right now, in Tom Brady. You know, am I happy for Todd Bowles being a minority hire and that Bruce Arians, because Tom Brady wanted Arians off the doggone sideline, and he just wants to deal with Byron Leftwich as a coordinator and whoever else as a head coach. That happened to be Todd Bowles. When Bruce Arians had Tom Brady on the sideline, they were winning. And follow me here. They were winning. Because Arians was the quarterback whisperer for Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. So this guy is a winner. And he won with Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger. Winner. Now, Todd Bowles comes down. He's got Tom Brady and a ready-made team. Losing. He was with the Jets as a head coach. With Geno Smith. Losing. So the point that I'm making is, and I'll let you go ahead and chime in, the problem with Geno Smith was coaching, Todd Bowles. That's the problem. Now, when he went to San Diego, he wasn't beating Phillip Rivers out for his job. Phillip Rivers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, you ain't going to take a Hall of Famer's job. Then Russell Wilson, same thing in Seattle. Probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And his style of play, you ain't taking his job. You're going to hold a clipboard unless he get hurt. But now he got the job. Now he's winning with Pete Carroll versus Todd Bowles. But go ahead.
So I agree. I think Geno Smith is taking advantage of an opportunity. He finally got an opportunity, and that's why he's doing well. I do not think Russell Wilson's the first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Did he win a ring? Sure. But so did Joe Flacco.
He won too.
Right. Yeah, but he only won
two.
One.
You should have won two, though. You know he should have won two.
Yeah, but he only won one. He won
right,
a same amount of rings as Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not arguing. You're right. He should have, but he didn't.
He should have won, too. Yeah. Okay.
Right. But he only won one. Him and Flacco got the same amount of rings.
Okay.
So, in my opinion, Russell Wilson is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Great dude, and I understand is like, I think his dad or his granddad is like the – is in charge of Norfolk State, like the president of Norfolk State and all that. So all that's great.
I thought it was Southern University.
Yeah, it's one of them.
So
he comes from a good family, Good background. Mm-hmm. Yep, I ain't arguing none of that. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, number one. And number two, I think Geno deserves the opportunity, and he's making the best of the opportunity. And, you know, that goes along with what you do with these athletes, giving them a chance, right? A lot of these young guys that didn't get drafted, that didn't, you know, get the opportunity to shine, you know, when you get your opportunity, you've got to make the most of it. And a lot of these young guys don't do that, and that's why they struggle. And I think that that's where they're having problems. But same thing here. I'm saying, without question, to me, Russell Wilson is number one, not a first ballot Hall of Famer, because could have been had he went to Denver and led them to a title, right? But he's clearly not doing that. Like, he's probably not even going to, you know, they got to pay him because they signed him all that money. But, you know, he's not even going to – he may not even take him to the playoffs. Because right now, the AFC, I mean, if the playoffs started today, there's only seven teams make the playoffs, right? So the playoffs started today. Buffalo, Kansas City, the Jets, Tennessee, the Ravens, the Dolphins, and the Chargers. That would be your seven teams today.
Okay.
So Denver at 2-5, even if they went on a four-game winning streak, they're not even going to make the playoffs. They don't have a chance. Right? They don't even have a chance for a wild card spot. Because in their division, they're behind Kansas City, right? Kansas City's 5-2, Denver's 2-5. So they don't have a chance to win the division. So they're out of the divisional race. Their only chance to make the playoffs is the wild card spot. And, you know, they're not even going to make the wild card spot. Look at the teams they would have to beat to get the wild card spot: the Bengals, the Colts, the Patriots, the Raiders, the Jaguars. They would have to outdo all of those teams to get the last playoff spot. They're not even going to do that. Right? They're not even going to do that.
Okay.
I mean, they're just trash. So if he had went to Denver and won, at least took them to the playoffs, first ballot, you could argue. He's not even going to get that now. He's killing his legacy.
Okay, let me chime in here real quick to do my station announcement here real fast. For those of you just tuning in, I got my number one sports contributor to the show, DC from Maryland, talking about all things sports-related, NBA, NFL. The thing I want to say is this right here. Going back to what I said about the minority hiring, since we're still on this topic of, you know, what I was saying about Todd Bowles and coaching Geno Smith, I'm all for a minority hiring. I don't want everybody to think that I'm not proud of Todd Bowles for getting the opportunity to be a head coach again, and his good friend Bruce Arians made that happen. He looked out for him. I'm happy about that. I think we got five black head coaches. I think Lovie Smith, Mike Tomlin, Todd Bowles, and I think it's maybe one or two more out there that I can't think of.
The guy in Miami that don't look black, claims he's got black in his family. That guy's a heck of a
coach. I don't know about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about that.
I'm not a DNA expert. But right. But that guy's like, no, I'm a minority. I'm African American. Everybody's like, really?
You might be Cuban, you might Afro-Cuban. I'll give you that. I'm going to just say Afro-Cuban because you're in Miami. But the point I'm making is that Tom Bowles, man, and I ain't trying to say nothing bad about him. How the heck you going to have Tom Brady, great quarterback? Then you also had Geno Smith. I think he went, like I said, first-round draft pick coming out of college. You couldn't win with either of them. But when they wasn't with you, they was thriving. So my whole thing is, I mean, is this something to say about Todd Bowles? I mean, when you're dealing with good quarterbacks, you can't win. And now you got a ready-made team, you can't win.
Yeah, it does. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of African-American quarterbacks get beat up because they make them head coaches of bum teams that nobody would have done well with. And then, of course, that kills their coaching record. And then when they, of course, get an opportunity, as you said, when they got players, they don't produce. And that's kind of the problem here. The problem is that you got to make the most of opportunities. You know, I tell people all the time that the definition of OOR is people passing on opportunities repeatedly, right? If you pass on opportunities repeatedly, that will lead you to being poor, right? Because we all have opportunities to make money. We all have opportunities to change our lives by making a decision. But a lot of people pass on opportunities, and by passing on opportunities, they keep themselves poor. Right, and so what happens is you get guys in that scenario, like you said, Todd Bowles, perfect example, a guy that got an opportunity, got a lot of coaches who are better coaches than him, right, hasn't made the most of it, and like you said, it's a hard sell. You know, it's easy to say, well, you didn't do well because you had. You didn't have a good opportunity. You made me the head coach of a team that had no talent, that had no this, that had no that.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's real hard to then turn around and defend you when you got a Hall of Famer on your team and you can't win, right? So,
and that's why I say I was defending Geno Smith, because I'm like, when I look at Todd Bowles, I'm like, I don't think it was really Geno. I think they had a bad team when Rex Ryan left. Sanchez was out. Then, you know, comes Todd Bowles in, defensive-minded coach. Then I don't know who the offensive coordinator was, but then you come Geno Smith, who was a hell of a talent. I don't know how what was his draft status, but I know he went, if I'm correct, in the first round. Talented young man. But under Todd Bowles' regime, he went down. And now you got Tom Brady going down. Segueing to who they're playing this weekend is the Giants. Are the Giants a big surprise to you?
No. No, they're not, only because star players. You know, if you got Saquon Barkley is a good running back. Let's just be honest. He's a good running back. The problem was he couldn't stay healthy. And so when you're not healthy, right, you're never going to get a guy's best, right? And, you know, he ran through the issues that all new agents run through, new athletes run
coaches
through with getting the money and the fame. I mean, he had the chunky suit commercial and all that. So he bought into the hype when he first got in the league. But after all of that died, and the question was, do you really want to do this? And he asked himself that question, and he said, I do. I really want to be a pro. And so the question was, okay, you need to work hard and get out there to do that. And he did. And that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing him make a decision and it pay off. And that's why he is where he's at. And that's why they're having the success that they're having.
Okay. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers of Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking with you live in the early morning, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 9:04 a.m., 62 degrees Fahrenheit in sunny San Diego, California. We got my number one sports contributor to the show, DC from Maryland, talking all things sports. Real quick before we let you get up out of here, man, I know you got things to do, but World Series coming up on Friday. What are we looking at? Who we got? Phillies. We got the doggone Houston Astros. And tell me why.
I still think Houston's going to win it. I just think they're the better overall team. Obviously, Philly got hot at the right time because I thought Philly wasn't a better team than San Diego. But they were able to get by the Padres and get to the World Series. So I think Houston will win it. It's going to be a very tough series for Houston. It wouldn't shock me if it's a gentleman sweep, you know, 5-1, right? But I do think can I see Philly winning a game? Yeah, I do. So that's why I said 5-1, gentleman sweep. But I definitely feel like, Houston's gonna win it. They're just a better team. They got better pitching. They've been consistently good all year long. And it's really hard. You know, it's hard to win in pro sports, but it's definitely hard to maintain success for a long time. And I think, you know, Philly's Cinderella story is going to run out.
Yeah, because, and I was going to ask you about the pitching. I say because you predicted Schwarber and Matt Harper was going to be, Bryce Harper was going to be the thing that was the situation that was going to make the Padres go home. You did predict that. You predicted that correctly too. So now if they're going to play Houston, and okay, you got Yordan Alvarez at Houston, that's their slugger, that's their big bat. But Philly got two big bats, so it has to come down to pitching. Then if you're saying that Philly ain't going to win but one game, that like you said, that their bullpen is better, it's going to come down to the pitching, and Harper and Schwarber obviously ain't going to be as effective.
Yep, and they're going to win a game, right? I mean, Matt Harper is an outstanding talent. He's been in the playoffs before. He's been in World Series before, right? So it's not an issue of are they going to get too big for the moment? No, they're not too big for the moment, right? Because they've been there before. But nah, I see it being Houston. I see 5-1, gentlemen sweep. I think Philly's going to be in a lot of games, but I just don't see them pulling it out.
All right. Last question before you go. Speaking of last, I didn't speak about too much about the Nuggets, but the way they played against the Lakers last night, and they got Jamal Murray back, and that kid is talented, man. Do you see the Nuggets have a chance of going to the Western Conference Finals? At least the Western Conference Finals. Do they have a chance?
Absolutely, they do. If the playoffs started today, there would be the eighth seed. But of course, that tells you that they're talented. They definitely have an opportunity. We know that it's too early to talk playoffs, right? Because again, right now Golden State is the ninth seed. If the playoffs start, Golden State would be in a play-in game today. If the playoffs started, and we know clearly the world championship team, the defending world champions. So yeah, I mean, clearly it's too early. However, Denver is a solid team. You can't get past the talent. You just can't. You can't run from their lineup. They have Jokic, right? Yeah. So he's arguably the best player in the league and has been for years. So you can't run from a team that has arguably the best player on it. And Jokic, and then you're talking about Aaron Gordon, who is still solid. Michael Porter is solid. I mean, you can argue Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter is the same player, but they're solid, right?
That's how Porter was out.
Well, he's out, but he's still on the team. And if he's healthy, he's the starting small forward. Right. So, they just got too much talent. So obviously they're definitely a playoff team. And could they with the seeding get there? Yeah. Cause that's part of it. Sometimes it's just who you playing in each round. Right. Sometimes, a lot of teams sometimes don't want to play other teams. It's like, ooh, no, we play them in the first round. We're going home. Let's try to catch them in the second or third round.
Yeah, because if the Nuggets play let's say my team, the Pelicans, if the Nuggets run into the Pelicans in the first round, and that's why I hate the West because it's so stacked. If the Nuggets play the Pelicans, the Nuggets are going home. Zion is back. He's in full effect. He's trim. He's lean, mean. He's dominant. Nobody can even – he can do whatever he want to do whenever he want to do it. Then you got doggone C.J. McCollum. You got Valanciunas. You got doggone Herb Jones. And then you got doggone Ings. Once Ings clear concussion protocol, which is long as heck in the NBA, but once he finally clears it and get back, if they was to run into us in the playoffs, not just the Nuggets, but a couple teams going home. So I really kind of got the Pelicans as my sleeper to be the Western Conference champions going into the finals.
Yep, I agree.
And I think you agree.
I agree wholeheartedly. As I say, I think a lot of these teams are not as good as they, you know, a lot of these guys are talented. A lot of these guys don't know how to win. They just relied on whatever got them there. And I understand that mentality. But that's not enough. Not enough.
Yes. Well, all right, man. I want to let you get off this line, man. Thank you for calling in. Like I said, it's my number one sports contributor on the show. I'm trying to put something together. Like I was telling you before, I'm asking for some different positions on the show. Somebody to run the news desk, somebody to be my music technician. And then on top of that, I'm going to have a news platform called Versus on this show where you as my number one sports contributor, because you're always here, your knowledge is vast. I'm going to have people, I'm trying to get other guest sports contributors to come on the show. And then kind of, you know, as we go through these topics, kind of like put them in and let them give their opinion on what you're saying. And we'll call it Versus, meaning like DC versus whoever else is calling in to the show. I think it'll be kind of entertaining. I'm not going to have you debate nobody, but it's going to be more like I'll put you on mute then, let them say what they got to say, then bring you back in. But, I'm doing some different things. And like I said, I appreciate you always being the number one sports contributor to the show. And then, that's why I tagged you in here this morning in the details, because I appreciate your knowledge and everything like that. But anyway, man, I want to let you get off this phone. Thank you for calling in and everything. And we'll catch you next week.
All right. And after the Ravens pull out a close game, probably, you can feel free to give me my shout out tomorrow and say, yeah, he called it, right? I do think if they give Tom Brady a chance at the end, he could make a difference, but I just don't see it. I don't see it. I see the Ravens being, like I said, the team is just better talent overall. You know, Tom Brady's going to try to throw the ball because they don't run it very well, and I think that's the Ravens' Achilles heel is passing, right? So you can pass on the defense, but it's a little hard to pass on the defense if you're getting sacked. It's also hard if you're constantly in third and long, second and long, because you can't run the ball. Tom Brady is not mobile. And so I do think the Ravens' defense will be too much. I think the Ravens will run the ball a lot, so they'll dominate the time of possession. I don't think they'll give Tampa Bay a lot of time to get on the field and do a lot. You know, Tampa Bay's not in a position where they can do a 4-minute drive, right? Or a 7-minute drive and eat up half the quarter before they get a touchdown. I don't see that. So I do see Baltimore winning it, but it won't be a blowout.
All right. Well, thank you for your bold opinion, man. We'll get you out of here, man. We'll be back on Monday morning. Tomorrow's my off day, but we'll be back on Monday morning. We'll chop it up and discuss this game along with other Week 8 action. Now, does the week start tonight? Week 8 starts tonight with Thursday night, right? Is it still Week 7?
Nope, it is Week 8. You're right.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I wanted to make sure I was telling my global listeners the right information. I was like, well, Thursday night football, I believe, kicks off the week now since it should
that's
be.
Right.
I didn't
and
know
then,
this was considered
Monday,
the last game or the
Monday
first
night,
game.
Right. Right, Monday night ends the week. Thursday night starts the week, yep.
It gets kind of confusing with this damn Thursday night game. But anyway, man, we're going to get you up out of here. And, thanks for coming on the show today.
No problem.
Yes, for those just tuning in to the to the show. This is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. I apologize for to the online community and the global community and everything, to all the broadcasters out there for not giving my station call sign. I'm supposed to do that at the top of the hour or every 30 minutes. It's been a minute since I've been in broadcasting school, but I think it's either every 30 minutes or definitely the top of the hour. I'm supposed to get my call sign. But this is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, kicking it with you live in the early morning, WBESTW Best, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 9:16 a.m., and it is 62 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. Our topic for today is the Lakers fall to the Nuggets, Nets fall to the Bucks, and Thursday Night Football, Bucks versus Ravens NFL. I apologize if you're reading this along with me. I didn't put down the correct name for the Tampa Bay Bucks. It should be B-U-C-S, B-U-C-S, not with the K. The K is for the NBA team, Bucks. But anyway, I apologize for that typo. But nevertheless, the hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a global listening audience. The hosts will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball. The number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, will make his bold opinion on the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Knicks. So today we had number one sports contributor, DC, on the line today. And again, I'm looking for other guests, sports contributors to come in and share their knowledge on the show. And I got a new thing called Versus I'm going to be doing. I'm going to have DC on, and then other people like my man JB and different ones coming on the show and giving their sports knowledge and of all things basketball, baseball, football. And it's not going to be a debate style thing. It's like everybody have their turn to talk. I don't like people talking at the same time. Like when the host is interacting with somebody, that's one thing. But I don't want it to be to where like my sports contributors like arguing back and forth on the air. I don't want to make it like First Take. I like to keep things more like I model my show kind of like off the herd. That's why I'm looking for a news desk contributor. So when I can't be here, they can cover for me. And, add to their broadcasting reel to try to get them a job out there at a brick-and-mortar radio station. I'm also looking for a music technical director to give me some hip-hop beats and some smooth jazz beats so we can have some new music on the show and things of that nature. We're going to go off into our music mix, and today our music mix, the beats are contributed by the CEO of Team Master Sound Design, that's platinum producer Keith Clizart. And we're going to be playing some beats that are donated by him. And also contributes music to the show is my man, DJ Keith Chronic. He is the owner and president of In the Trunk Clothing. In the Trunk Clothing, that's N, capital N, D-A, Trunk, T-U-R-N-K, In the Trunk Clothing. You can find him on Twitter or Facebook. He had a page on both. And you can also find him on Facebook under his government name, which is Keith Payne, common spelling. You can find him, and you can also find platinum producer Keith Clizart. You can Google his credits. He's did all kind of beats and stuff for like Grand Theft Auto. He got platinum tracks with Snoop Dogg. The East Side is up in Long Beach. Just Google him, and if you want some mentorship from Keith Clizart, he has mentorships. I think his packages are $150. But just go to the just Google Team Mash and Sound Design, and that'll take you to his webpage, or you can direct message me on Twitter if you're a hip hop or R&B artist that want to get some distribution, major record label distribution for your music projects, or if you want to be on the show and tell your story, and at the same time get your music in rotation, DM me at Ferran Sports on Twitter. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D Sports, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, all together, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. If you're an athlete and you would like to be on the show, if you're a street free agent athlete, meaning you've already graduated college, and you're still looking for a professional opportunity, whether you play any of the big any sport, as far as I'm concerned, any sport is welcome. But this is definitely the big three major sports: NBA, NFL, MLB. If you want to come on here and tell your story, but at the same time, if you play soccer, play hockey, whatever the case may be, tennis, you can come on here and tell your story as well. It's $150 I'm sorry, it's $100. $100 to come on and tell your story and everything like that. And I'll put your highlights and everything in the details and then all the promotions for that episode. And then, you know, all these episodes are recorded, so you can keep them and put them on your resume and send them out to different coaches and scouts and general managers so they can have your story already on tape and kind of like have an idea of who you are and what you're all about before you get on the actual phone interview with the team. So, again, any interview or to put your music in rotation on my show, whether you're an athlete or an artist or a producer, it's $100 to come on my show. And if you want more details, just DM me at Ferran Sports on Twitter. We're going to get off into some music. Make standby. Kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer radio show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Time on deck is 9:30 a.m. and it is 62 degrees Fahrenheit in sunny San Diego, California. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and debate the host about the sport he or she loves. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from WBEST, Chula Vista, California. WBEST, Chula Vista, California. All right. And for those of you just tuning in, thank you for joining us. And today's topic was Lakers falls to the Nuggets, Nets fall to the Bucks, and Thursday Night Football, the Bucks versus the Ravens NFL. That should be on Amazon Prime tonight, so I won't get to see that game because it's going to be on Amazon Prime. So, you know, I don't do all these apps and everything. I'm old school. I'm used to just watching the game on NBC, CBS, ABC, you know, stuff like that, ESPN. But, you know, since all these people are moving into the cast and market space, they're buying up games, putting them on their networks, you know. I ain't mad at them. I ain't got the money to do it. Maybe if I had the money to do it, I'd understand why they're doing it. We got on the monitor, Eagles acquired defensive end Robert Quinn from the Bears for a fourth-round pick. Again, Eagles acquired defensive end Robert Quinn from the Bears for a fourth-round pick. He's going to be going to the Eagles. And it's just Roquan Smith. I think he was considered the best player up to this point for the Chicago Bears, offense or defense. He's considered the best player on that team. At least that's what I heard about a month or so ago. They considered him the best player, or he considered himself the best player, if I'm remembering correct. If I'm incorrect about that, feel free to call in to the show at 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687. Call in to the show and correct me or debate me. But anyway, the Eagles made an acquisition from the Bears, which is going to affect the Bears' defense to some degree because they let go defensive end Robert Quinn. And he's going to the Eagles. So now the Cowboys, they're going to definitely have to make some adjustments because the Eagles' defense is going to be better than it was when they played them the last time. And so, you know, they're already 0-1 against the Eagles. The Eagles are 6-0. And I believe they had a bye week this week. So week 8, they're coming back. I don't know who they're playing off the top of my head. In other news on the monitor, the Patriots are – looking to win the game over the Jets. They up, you know, minus two and a half Patriots over the Jets. 49ers minus 1.5 at the Rams. 49ers minus 1.5 at the Rams. So, you know, just going over some stuff that's coming across the wire. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, you know, last night, two good games for the NBA, the Lakers. They, you know, they fell to the Nuggets. The Nuggets came out, put on a good show. I was happy to see Jamal Murray back, see him back on the court, you know, and everything like that. He's going to be, I believe he's going to be a Hall of Famer in this game. I believe he's going to be a Hall of Famer in the game. And then we had, we also had the Nets. They fell to the Bucks. You know, Giannis in the second half, Giannis went off and he did what he do. Attacking the rim. He went off and did what he do, attacking the rim. So, yeah, that was a good game as well. Kyrie Irving was heard. The media heard him employing Ben Simmons to shoot the basketball, you know, trying to encourage him to shoot the basketball. But at the same time, when they asked Kyrie about it in the media conference, in the press conference after the game, he just let him know, shut him down. He's like, I'm not finna get on the band, Ben Simmons bandwagon. I'm not finna do it. Sort of like how KD did last week when he said, I'm not finna get on the Russell Westbrook bashing bandwagon. You know, the media, they like to get on these shows and bash these guys. And that affects people's psyche when you keep coming at them, coming at them like that. I'm not really a fan of that. You know, I try not to do that on this show. I try to give my opinion, but I don't try to tear a person down. I mean, if you're not playing well, I'm going to just say you're not playing well, but I'm not going to try to basically just tear you down. I've been through that before, and somebody came to my defense. Back in the day, I used to do a little boxing. I think I told y'all that. And I had lost a fight, and somebody had came to me, you know, and they were talking about my performance. And they were laughing about it. So I was somewhat braggadocious, I guess, in that particular time period for that particular fight. And, you know, I didn't win that fight. And so a lot of my friends, they were laughing about it. But somebody stepped in and they said, hey, man, you know, although he talked a little bit of stuff, he's a little braggadocious, which is kind of out of my character. But, you know, I thought there was a fight I could win, and I didn't win. So, you know, you know, everybody was laughing about it. But one of my friends, good friend of mine, Kelly, he stepped up and told everybody, hey, man, that's enough. Okay, y'all got y'all laugh off of it. That's enough. You know, it is what it is. But y'all got y'all laugh off on back off, because what you're going to do is you're going to discourage him from continuing to fight. And I knew that Kelly knew that I was really trying to pursue a professional boxing career. And I was still an amateur at the time, but he knew that I was serious about pursuing a professional boxing career. And he stepped in on my behalf and said, hey, man, you guys got to quit. You know, every day y'all ragging this guy. He got it. Y'all got your laugh. Now it's time to back off, because you're going to discourage him from continuing. And I don't think none of us want to see him not box anymore. We want him to do well. So just back off. And so I appreciated that. So sometimes us in the media, we got to keep these things in mind. You know, you're broadcasting your bold opinions a lot of times, but, you know, these people are human at the end of the day. Ben Simmons, this man's a human being. Russell Westbrook, this man's a human being. And, you know, for whatever we think about them, they're still getting paid at the highest level, however they're performing. But, you know, we got to back off of them. I'm like KD. I'm not getting on the Russell Westbrook bash bandwagon. I'm not going to get on the Ben, like Kyrie said. He's not going to be sitting up here playing into Ben Simmons' psyche. He's not going to get up here and play into that psyche. The guy hadn't played ball really in 2 years. Basically, just back off of him. Let him do what he needs to do. Just back. And so, you know, with that being said, in some other news from, you know, with my business with Best Sports Management, if you like some services from Best Sports Management, Sports Career Management Services, I do basketball. I do basketball and football mainly, but I do have other people for baseball that I use. My good friend, my good friend Mike McGinnis, he's my baseball agent that I use for all baseball related matters. If you play baseball and you need some guidance, I'll just send you to him. I'll help you through him. As far as football and basketball, I have my own contacts through football and basketball. I have networked with the Utah Jazz. I have networked with the WNBA Connecticut Sun. Those two relationships are not on the fire right now. They're kind of like off on simmer. You know, sometimes you can be dealing with some certain people and organizations, but staff moves around, people get fired, lose their jobs. But just a little bit about me, my effectiveness. I have dealt with the NBA and the WNBA. Currently, if I get any players for basketball, I'll send you over to my good friend David Magley. He's the commissioner of the TBL, the Basketball League, and they're moving at rapid pace, getting organizations signed on in the you know, around the country. I used to do a lot of stuff with the ABA, but I don't really hear too much about the ABA these days for whatever reason. I don't know if their model folded or not. But I do know that for me right now, I'm sending everybody to the TBL to coach David Magley, who's the commissioner, and he runs all the combines and everything around the country. So I'm sending you there. Speaking of the TBL, last year, my home state team, close to my hometown, the Shreveport Mavericks, Shreveport Mavericks, they won the whole thing for the TBL. I think they beat the Albany Patroon, if I'm correct. So it was amazing that they were able to get a series. You know, Albany was able to go down to Shreveport and do the series, because I think they were the top seed. So I think they played all the games in Shreveport. If they played some in Albany, that still was a good thing, because that meant both teams had a budget to travel. So I'm liking what the TBL is doing, and they got their channel. But, you know, give the highlights of the games and stuff like that. So definitely check out the TBL at TBL on at TBL at the Basketball League on Twitter. So if you play basketball for the men's, definitely hit me up. I don't really have an outlet for the females yet. I just haven't had an opportunity to there's no league really for professional women's basketball outside the WNBA or if you go overseas. So I'm not really effective there yet, but as I make more contacts, I can be. As far as coaching jobs, however, different schools that I deal with, that I've dealt with in basketball. If you're a female and you need help getting your coaching resume up, I can shop your resume around to some different coaches at the junior college level, at the small college level, to help you start getting experience as a coach. As far as football goes, I do all things related to football except the NFL at this time. But I do all the avenues that I have right now are avenues that I can assist you in getting to the NFL. So, you know, I have the big thing right now. I deal with Hub, which is Hubcamp is a platform if you want to get looked at by the NFL, the CFL, XFL, USFL. And right now they have a exclusive partnership to be the exclusive scouting service for the United States Football League. So that's a good thing. And I have my connection there with the general manager and the vice president of operations. And Hubcamp is ran by Tom Brady's agent, the GOAT's agent, Don Yee, Super Agent Don Yee, owns and runs Hub. And they're going to be here in San Diego on November the 13th. And I have one of my athletes, he's going to be attending. So I'll definitely be around over there and congratulating Don Yee and my good friend Tom Behinds and Mike Williams on their merger, on their partnership, rather their partnership as the exclusive scouting service, where they're doing data sharing for all the participants and everything with Payton Hub. The USFL can just dip down in there and get a live look in, or they can also, you know, request if they want a defensive back on the team, they can say, hey, what kind of DBs you got? This USFL team is looking for a couple of DBs. So if you graded well at Hub Camp, your film can be sent up, your report can be sent up, your numbers can be sent up, your film can be sent up, and then they can bring you in and work you out at the USFL level. The XFL, they partnered with the Indoor Football League, the IFL, Indoor Football League. They partnered with them as their minor league system for the XFL. So the Indoor Football League is going to be the minor league system, to just like in baseball, you know, if players get cut from a USFL team, they can send them down and get them placed with the IFL team to keep developing, to try to come back up. And at the same time, players in the IFL can get their film reviewed to be brought up for a workout for XFL team. So, you know, that's a good thing. So I tell people that I'm thankful that a lot of times when it seemed like I should have given up on what I was trying to do with Hub, with the XFL, I'm sorry, with Hub, with the Indoor Football League, with the National Arena League, Champions Indoor Football League, Fan Control Football, American Arena League, Arena Football Association, and the American Arena League. When it seemed like all those organizations I just rattled off, some are new and haven't been around too long. Some are new or haven't been around too long. And then some have been in place for a while. If I had to listen to people saying, hey, you're not making any money off the stuff that you're doing helping these athletes move up. You know, you're making $100 here and there, $300 here and there, $600 here and there, depending on what packages the athlete pays for. The consistency of me making an income off of what I'm currently doing has not been there. I have not been able to make an income off of the opportunities that I present. And a lot of times the athletes, you know, they whatever school they came from, whatever level, they've always felt like, you know, well, the opportunity ain't big enough for me. You know, I should be in the NFL. So, no, I don't want your help, or I don't want to pay for your service because, you know, it's not putting me right in the NFL. Well, now I feel good about those opportunities because those opportunities have added value today. They have added value today because the Hub Camp has partnered with the USFL. So that's an opportunity if you can get your budget up to fly to San Diego or wherever they do it at. Mainly it's been at San Diego. If you can get your budget up to fly to San Diego, put yourself up in a hotel room and, you know, feed yourself for a day or two. You come out here to Hub Camp, pay for their premium package, which I believe is about $1,350, basic package is $750, whichever one you pay for. you have the opportunity to get a live look, for, you know, because the teams don't have to fly out here. They get, it's a link they provide. All they got to do is look in to the event, to the camp, and see you working out and move you up to the USFL level. The Indoor Football League, where I have so many, I know so many coaches, got so many coaching contacts, have so many relationships there, and I move people. This week I've already got three, within the last 2 weeks I already got three contracts done for three of my rookies that played in fan control football last year. They got their IFL contracts, so I can put you in place to be playing in the IFL so you can be seen and possibly move up as people get hurt, people get injured, because people get hurt in football. So they got to replace those players with somebody. Plus, I'm hearing that the XFL and Indoor Football League will be doing some joint workouts, like when they're like around, you know, this time right now when free agency is going on, they're going to be doing joint workouts to be looking at players for the IFL, which is the minor league system, and the major league system, which is the XFL. I think that's a smart move by the XFL partnering with the IFL, because there's a lot of great talent that gets overlooked in the indoor and arena football style, you know, leagues, whether it's seven-man, eight-man style. There's a lot of talent out there getting overlooked. I'm talking about talent at the quarterback position, talent at the running back position, talent at the wide receiver, slot wide receiver position, talent at the cornerback position. It's a lot of talent in these indoor football leagues and arena style football. It's a lot of talent in these local markets, these small markets where they're the only show in town. There's a lot of talent down there. So if you want to get my help right now, it's $100. It's $100 for me to help you, and once I confirm that you paid the $100 in the payment service, I use this Cash App $FerranOne. That's Cash App $FERRAND, the number one. Cash App $FerranOne. Once I hear my app go cha-ching and then I confirm that you paid, I'll request what I need from you at that time. It'll be stuff to build for your resume and stuff like that. I request those items. Once I get those items and review them, we'll get them out into my network to get you an opportunity to get off the couch and get back on the field of play. I'm going to start off with sending it to definitely the IFL, right up under that, the CIFL, because that's the same style of football, two different leagues. But if you're playing the same style of football, that the CIFL is the same style as the IFL, and so the XFL is using the Indoor Football League style where they use a traditional running back in those two leagues to get you a look. So even if I can't get you to the IFL this year, maybe your CIFL film will get you on the IFL team the following season, and then you'll have that opportunity at that time. But the goal is to get you to the IFL first. If I can't get you there, then it'll go to the CIFL. If I can't get you there, then I'll move you to the National Arena League or Fan Control Football. The National Arena League or Fan Control Football, which of those two. So right now I'm going, you know, it'll be your film will go to definitely Hub, to the Hub camp to get you an opportunity. You have to be good to compete at Hub. You have to be good. I can use my relationship, but you still have to be good. You have to be good to get selected. And then sometimes, you know, depending on the numbers, if they don't have a lot of numbers at one position, you might get lucky and still sneak in if you're, you know, close to what they're looking for. But in either case, you really have to be good and have to stand out. It has to be something they like about you to get you in there. And, you know, of course, me having a relationship with the with staff there, that helps some too. But talent still has to show up. I'll take your film and send it to the IFL teams, send it to the Hub camp, and then right up under the IFL team and Hub, it'll go to the CIFL because it's the same style of football as the IFL. If it doesn't work that way, then I'll be sending you either to Fan Control Football or the National Arena League, and then get that film. And the next year, you know, we could try it for the IFL again and Hub again. So I have a system, It costs $100 to use my system. The system works. The system has a value as of now because HUB is partnered with the USFL and the IFL has partnered with the XFL. So, right, it's a lot of good things going on right now at Best Sports Management and Advisor Service here in San Diego, California. So, anyway, with that being said, what I'm going to do, we're going to get ready to set Black and Fade off, go back off into some more music real quick, and we'll be back to set Black and Fade off. But I want to let everybody know this is my Friday. Thursday is my Friday because the Monday, the Stogies and Beer radio show can be heard most Mondays through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, most Mondays through Thursdays. Let me correct that. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So today is my, it's Thursday, so Thursday is my Friday. So I won't be back on air until a Monday or Tuesday. I'll let you know over the weekend. I think I got something going on Monday. I'll post up a rerun, a replay. And if you don't like that replay, you can I have about 39 episodes. I think this is my 40th episode today. You can go back and listen to any of the other 40 episodes on that I don't post on tomorrow. Whatever I don't post, you can still go back and pick your own episode. But I'll, if I'm not on air live, I'll have a show up for you to listen to. And I'll try to make it pick something that's going to help you, all you street free agents, go ahead on and decide to get some contracts going into the spring football season to help you get a look for the XFL and the USFL. So with that being said, I want everybody to stay safe out there. Make sure you get your COVID booster. Make sure you get your flu shot. And make sure you stay safe from monkeypox. Keep plenty of hand sanitizer on you and your face mask. It's about to be cold in flu season. Well, it is cold in flu season now, so people are going to start hacking and coughing as it gets cold. So make sure you got your mask on. If you got a family and you test positive for COVID-19 or the flu or whatever, quarantine yourself for about 5 days and get on some meds. Get with your doctor, get on some meds until you start feeling better. You got to quarantine yourself inside a room in your house away from your family, your kids, your wife, your husband, whatever. You have to quarantine inside your house for about 5 good days so you feel better. At the same time, while you're out and about in crowded spaces, put a mask on. Put a mask on. So, love one another. Remember, we're all one race. That's the human race. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Everybody love one another. Make peace, not war. Pray that this war in Ukraine ends. Pray that the war in Ukraine ends and there's peace over there. And pray for Brittany Griner for her safe release and return back to the United States. Pray for Brittany Griner. Keep her in your prayers. With that being said, this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio. So I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And so we're going to go off into some more music tracks. Stand by, and I'll be back to set Black and Fade off. Yes, this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC, that's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And this has been your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. I want everybody to stay safe out there. Show some love to everybody. Treat everybody the way you like to be treated, and we'll see you back on the show Monday morning. We're going to set black, fade off.